VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today on VCY America for a Friday news roundup as we have many, many stories. Lori's been very busy compiling the stories, getting them ready. We're grateful for this. We will seek to inform you on a number of issues today, some very significant issues going on. Matter of fact, breaking news within the last couple hours that I have not seen news breaks and so forth happening on the mainstream media, but folks, it's some pretty exciting news I'd like to tell you about here momentarily, but I trust that as we go through these stories that it really will burden your heart to be in prayer for this nation and not to check out. Folks, we have that twofold responsibility of being salt and light. We need to go about preaching the word of God, proclaiming the gospel, seeing people won to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the evangelism. That's being light and being salt as well. The impact and the importance we have upon the society around us, if we've lost our savor, we're good for nothing to be cast down and trodden underfoot of men. So let's be salt. Let's be light. Let's be prayer warriors for this nation as well. But let's start with the news that came out just hours ago. And this is great news from the Trump administration. Today, the Trump administration finalized the Protect Life rule that redirects Title X family planning program funds from the abortion industry. The rule advances President Trump's promise to stop taxpayer funding of abortion businesses like Planned Parenthood, who will no longer receive Title X funding if they choose not to comply. The Susan B. Anthony List President Marjorie Dannenfelser said, quote, "We thank President Trump for taking decisive action to disentangle taxpayers from the big abortion industry led by Planned Parenthood. The Protect Life rule does not cut family planning funding by a single dime, but instead directs tax dollars to entities that provide health care to women but do not perform abortions. The Title X program was not intended to be a slush fund for abortion businesses like Planned Parenthood, which violently ends the lives of more than 332,000 unborn babies a year and receives almost $60 million a year in Title X taxpayer dollars. We thank President Trump and Secretary Azar for ensuring that the Title X program is truly about funding family planning, not abortion." Well, under the Protect Life rule, abortion centers cannot serve as taxpayer-funded family planning centers or co-located there. In addition, Title X locations cannot refer for abortion. Now, again, it does not reduce family planning funding by a dime, but instead directs tax dollars to Title X centers that do not promote or perform abortions. Great news indeed. And if you would like to thank President Trump, the quickest way I have found by sending an email, you can go to SBA-list. That stands for Susan B. Anthony, SBA-list.org. You go to that website and you'll be able to find the information there. Very handy to drop an email to the president to thank him for standing for life. Since we're on this topic, last night, Senator Ben Sasse announced that the U.S. Senate will be holding a roll call vote for the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act this coming Monday, February 25th. The bill is a response to the recent law that was passed by New York that allows for late-term abortions to the point of delivery. We also saw what happened in the state of Virginia with the governor, embattled Governor Ralph Northam, defending this bill, going so far as to say that the mother and physician would have a discussion post-delivery to determine whether or not the baby would be saved, reports Conservative View. What's interesting here as well from Senator Ben Sasse, he said this: "I want to thank the majority leader for scheduling the vote so that every American can know where their senator stands on the issue of infanticide. A lot of senators spend a lot of time telling people how they fight for the little guy. Well, here's a chance for them to prove it. We're going to have a vote on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, and everyone is going to have to put their name by their vote. It's cowardly for a politician to say they'll fight for the little guy, but only if the little guy isn't an actual 7-pound baby who's fighting for life. It shouldn't be hard to protect newborn babies. Let's pass the legislation, he said. Coming to us from LifeNews.com, Tennessee lawmakers passed a bill Wednesday to protect unborn babies from abortion once they have a detectable heartbeat. Also, Liberty Council reports this week, after the Kentucky Senate heard the beating heart of a woman's unborn baby last week, they voted 31-6 to pass a bill that would ban most abortions in the state once a fetal heartbeat is detected. The bill now goes to the House, and the same day the Kentucky House has passed a bill nearly to ban all abortions in the state when Roe v. Wade is overturned. Interesting news there. Also from Kentucky, from LifeNews.com, Kentucky lawmakers advanced another pro-life bill Wednesday to protect unborn babies from abortion. State House Bill 5, one of several pro-life measures going through the state legislature this winter, they report. If passed, it would ban discriminatory abortions on unborn babies based on their sex, race, or disability, like Down syndrome. Individuals in facilities that violate the measure could have their licenses revoked. Also, Utah lawmakers moved forward a bill this past Wednesday to protect unborn babies from abortion after 18 weeks of pregnancy. In Arkansas, Life News reports that Governor Asa Hutchinson signed a law Tuesday to protect unborn babies by banning all abortions in the state once Roe v. Wade is overturned. To the state of Vermont, well, not the same thing there, as they approved a bill in the House to legalize abortion up to birth. Babies shall not have independent rights under the law. It's they're moving forward this bill to keep abortions legal up to birth in the state of Vermont. Let's go to Wisconsin next. LifeNews.com. Governor Tony Evers of Wisconsin has announced this week that he will force the state residents of Wisconsin to fund the Planned Parenthood abortion business as part of the state budget. The so-called Healthy Women, Healthy Babies initiative would restore funding to the nation's biggest abortion company that kills 330,000 babies in abortions annually. This is funding that was cut back from the former Walker administration. Let's go to another story here. An undercover video resurfaced this week of a New York abortion worker telling a woman to drown her baby in a toilet if the baby is born alive before the abortion is complete. The 2013 investigation by Live Action is gaining attention again as Congress debates a bill to protect newborn babies from infanticide. A statement from Live Action director Lila Rose tweeted Wednesday saying our investigators exposed this New York abortion facility, which says they will put a born alive baby in a jar of solution to drown her. They also say to flush the baby down the toilet or put it in a bag if she's born alive. A story from the Christian Post tells us that a cash-strapped couple from Idaho traveled 700 miles to acquire the services of a Planned Parenthood in Albuquerque, New Mexico, now are suing the abortion giant for $765,000 and other damages. Why? Because the abortion pill did not kill their son. Now they're worried that the boy, who is almost 3 years old, may carry a defect or injury into adulthood as a result of the failed attempt to kill him. From the Christian News Network, an investigation out of Georgia has confirmed that the medical waste giant Stericycle is burning the bodies of aborted babies at its North Carolina incineration plant. The mounting evidence of the ongoing operation, which has been characterized as a modern-day Auschwitz, further documents the corporate collaboration in the systematic annihilation of unwanted children. From townhall.com, Brianna Helt writes that the state of California has been ordered to pay $399,000 to three crisis pregnancy centers and a politically conservative law firm after the Supreme Court struck down a law intended to force crisis pregnancy centers to promote abortion. Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Council, said this is a great victory for children, mothers, and families. Going to be talking about the Jussie Smollett situation here. I don't know that I'm going to be able to complete it before the break, so I'll move to some other stories, and we'll come back to that into our second segment here on Crosstalk. Before dawn today, the successful launch from Cape Canaveral of a $95 million lander, the Bereshit, its genesis. Israel has earned the chance to be only the fourth country in the world after the U.S., Russia, and China to land on the moon. This is from BreakingIsraelNews.com. It is hoped that the unmanned craft will place an Israeli flag at the landing site at the north of the moon's Sea of Tranquility. Bereshit is due to reach the moon on April 11th. That's just 2 days after Israel's Knesset election. It's going to be measuring the moon's local magnetic field, listen to this, to help understand how it formed. They want to understand how the moon formed. It also is going to bring a digital time capsule containing over 50 million pages of data, including a copy of the Bible, the blue and white flag, a copy of the Israeli Declaration of Independence, a full copy of Wikipedia, a recording of Israel's national anthem, children's drawings, and memories of a Holocaust survivor. Now, did something catch you interesting there? Here they're going to be measuring the moon's local magnetic field to help understand how the moon formed. One of the items it's carrying is a copy of the Bible. Now, friends, if the scientists had just opened the Bible and read it in Genesis chapter 1, they would have learned how the moon formed and would not have to go through that scientific experiment nor the expense that goes along with it. From Reuters, Iran today began a large-scale naval drill at the mouth of the Gulf, which will feature its first submarine cruise missile launches, state media reported, at a time of rising tensions with the United States. From the Wall Street Journal, Venezuela's U.S.-backed opposition preparing for a showdown with President Nicolas Maduro tomorrow, when it will try to bring tons of medicine and humanitarian aid into the country in an effort to sow division among the armed forces keeping the autocrat in power. Today, Venezuelan soldiers shot dead one person and injured 15 others during an indigenous protest over the aid delivery near Brazil's border, according to rights activists. FoxNews.com reports that Vice President Mike Pence traveling to Colombia next week to demonstrate continued U.S. support for the opposition to Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. Pence's office says that he will be delivering a speech in Bogota. The Hill is reporting that Iran and China have been carrying out increasingly more aggressive cyber attacks in recent months. The New York Times reported this Monday. Dozens of U.S. entities, including banks, businesses, and government agencies, have been targeted in what experts have attributed as an Iranian hacking campaign, multiple sources have told the Times. Also from the Hill, Democrats in the House introduced a resolution today that would block President Trump's emergency declaration on the southern border, a step he took to free up as much as $8 billion in funding to build the proposed border wall. The measure expected to pass the Democratic-held House, but does need to win GOP support to get through the United States Senate. And I don't foresee that that is going to happen. Also, several days after President Trump declared a national emergency, construction began on the fifth border wall project of his administration. The Customs and Border Protection announced Tuesday that they've started replacing 14 miles of steel mesh fence along the U.S.-Mexico border near San Diego. The fence is being replaced with 30-foot-high steel bollards. It's actually the second layer of barrier to be put up in the area, with the first layer nearly complete. President touted the construction Wednesday of a border wall in New Mexico. Back with more stories after the break. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, does evolution ever go backwards or reverse itself?
Chris, I don't think evolution occurs at all. God created each basic category of life. They may have varied, but this is not evolution. For evolution, you have to have new genes, new traits, new body parts, not just variety of the old. Sometimes evolutionists claim that evolution reverses itself and goes backwards. For instance, some are now claiming that the chimps, which are basically tree dwellers, descended from a missing link which walked upright, therefore backwards evolution. Chris, I think this is just as wrong as evolution in general is wrong. The evidence supports the biblical truth that man and apes are separate. There's variety among both, but they did not have a common ancestor. And that's just what we read when we go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. A number of stories today in our Friday News Roundup. We were just talking about the border and the matters going on there. Interesting news from Fox News. Yet another caravan of more than 1,000 mostly Central American migrants has crossed Mexico's southern border, according to officials. They clashed briefly with federal police and immigration agents, but were able to overwhelm the officials and enter illegally. The new caravan begins the march northward now toward the United States. From the Daily Wire, dozens of protesters stormed and occupied the Northern Border Patrol Museum in Texas over the weekend, vandalizing the building's displays, including a wall honoring fallen Customs and Border Protection officers. Around 50 protesters donning masks to conceal their identity overtook the El Paso, Texas facility on Saturday, leaving destruction in their wake, Fox News reported. The director of the museum described the incident as invasive. They immediately spread out throughout the museum, displayed banners, began chanting and singing. The protesters' top targets included a wall honoring the Customs and Border Patrol officers who have fallen in the line of duty. Though the Washington Examiner reports the group plastered dozens of images on picture glass, painted walls, mannequins, and vehicles throughout the building. Very troubling indeed. From Breitbart, elements of the Mexican army seized more than 2 tons of meth, cocaine, heroin, fentanyl, and marijuana during separate security operations in the border states of Sonora and Baja California late last week. The bust yielded just one arrest. From townhall.com, as the debate over illegal immigration continues to rage, Democrats continue to prove that they are proponents of open borders and lawlessness. The latest example comes from Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz, who is berating Democrats for protecting illegal aliens who attempt to purchase firearms and fail a background check. He tweeted out that Democrats in the Judiciary Committee just voted against notifying ICE when an illegal alien fails a background check to buy a gun. They hate ICE so much they'd keep ICE in the dark when illegals try to get guns. Not only is it illegal to enter the U.S. without permission, it's also illegal to purchase or possess a gun. Well, much of the news across this nation has been dealing with the situation of Jussie Smollett, the Empire actor, and the Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson yesterday said the suspect took advantage of the pain and the anger of racism to promote his career. I'd like you to hear what the police superintendent had to say at a press conference yesterday over the what appears to be the made-up allegations of his being attacked under hate crimes. Here's what the Chicago Police Superintendent had to say.
And I just wish that the families of gun violence in this city got this much attention, because that's who really deserves the amount of attention that we're giving to this particular incident. So this morning, I come to you not only as the superintendent of the Chicago Police Department, but also as a black man who spent his entire life living in the city of Chicago. I know the racial divide that exists here. I know how hard it's been for our city and our nation to come together. And I also know the disparities, and I know the history. This announcement today recognizes that Empire actor Jussie Smollett took advantage of the pain and anger of racism to promote his career. I'm left hanging my head and asking why. Why would anyone, especially an African-American man, use the symbolism of a noose to make false accusations? How could someone look at the hatred and suffering associated with that symbol and see an opportunity to manipulate that symbol to further his own public profile? How can an individual who's been embraced by the city of Chicago turn around and slap everyone in this city in the face by making these false claims? Bogus police reports cause real harm. They do harm to every legitimate victim who's in need of support by police and investigators, as well as the citizens of this city. Chicago hosts one of the largest pride parades in the world, and we're proud of that as a police department and also as a city. We do not, nor will we ever tolerate hate in our city, whether that hate is based on an individual's sexual orientation, race, or anything else. So I'm offended by what's happened, and I'm also angry. I love the city of Chicago and the Chicago Police Department, warts and all. But this publicity stunt was a scar that Chicago didn't earn and certainly didn't deserve.
Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson. Also from FoxNews.com, the judge who set Empire star Jussie Smollett's bond at $100,000 gave the actor an earful after Smollett was charged yesterday with disorderly conduct for allegedly filing a false police report. The judge, Cook County Judge John Fitzgerald Like Jr., said, "As you stand before me, we presume you're innocent, but the state read me a proffer that is outrageous. If true, the noose conjures up the greatest evil in this country." The 36-year-old actor said that little other than giving his name at the beginning of the hearing. His attorney, who said the actor denies all charges against him, asked the judge to release Smollett on his own recognizance. However, the judge said that that would be inappropriate. He was later released from jail after posting bond. Following 3 weeks of mounting suspicion, Smollett, who is accused of filing a false police report, was charged Wednesday with felony disorderly conduct. If convicted, he's facing up to 3 years in prison. FoxNews.com reports that Democratic lawmakers who jumped to promote actor Jussie Smollett's claims that he was assaulted by two men shouting racist and anti-gay slurs have stayed largely mum now as his story fell apart, and law enforcement officials charged the actor for allegedly orchestrating the attack. I mean, there are a number of those who quickly spoke out when it happened, Cory Booker and Kamala Harris and Nancy Pelosi and Dick Durbin and so many others, quick to jump to his defense, but rather quiet now as the allegations have turned just the other way. Also, it's interesting from the Daily Wire, they point out that on January 29th, 2019, Chicago police opened a hate crime investigation into this alleged assault of Empire actor Jussie Smollett, who is black. He is homosexual. He alleged that two men approached him at 2 o'clock in the morning in Chicago, where they shouted expletives at him, tried to wrap a noose around his neck and poured bleach on him, and saying that one of the men shouted, "This is MAGA country." Well, the story has received unending press. You have all heard it. But friends, there was another incident that happened that same night, but it was a Jewish man, and it was in New York. Beaten by three thugs. Nothing stolen, but the attack was caught on video. A Jew brutally beaten in Brooklyn. Anti-Semitism is alive and well in New York City. Time for a hard look at who is doing it and its cause. It's been on in New York before Charlottesville or 2016. Just ask anyone visibly Jewish, reports one Mati Seligson on Twitter. Outside of a report in the Jerusalem Post, the story received virtually no attention whatsoever. Interesting, isn't it? Two hate crimes occurred January 29th. The media covered one. The allegations are now that that one is false and phony. The other one goes by unreported. From the Daily Signal, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg took the bench at the Supreme Court Tuesday. That's the first time she's heard arguments since her treatment for lung cancer in December 2018. Continue to keep her in your prayers. WND.com reports left-wing activists and the media in Wisconsin are smearing a state Supreme Court candidate for being on the board of a small Christian school and for old blog posts on cases about abortion and homosexual sex. Brian Hagedorn, a current Wisconsin Court of Appeals judge, a former legal counsel for Governor Scott Walker, said at the time that he was considering a run for the top court that he expected to be attacked here because that's what's happening all across the country, wrote Jay Pullman, executive editor of The Federalist. Hagedorn and his wife helped find this small religious school. It's a code that forbids students, parents, and teachers from participating in immoral sexual activity. Well, the Associated Press, Wisconsin State Journal, Wisconsin Public Radio, all have declared in headlines, the school bans gays. But Pullman pointed out that gay students who abstain from sexual behavior aren't banned, and the code reflects 2,000 years of Christian teaching. This is the same kind of attack that folks that was launched against Karen Pence, criticized for teaching at a Christian school in Virginia that has a similar code of conduct. Well, from space.com, President Trump signed the Space Policy Directive Tuesday, ordering the Pentagon to establish the Space Force as the sixth branch of the United States military to go along with the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and Coast Guard. Congress does have to approve the creation of any new military branch. The main goal is to secure and extend American dominance of the space domain, the president and other White House officials have said. And at CNSNews.com, at the signing ceremony, the president declared America must be fully equipped to defend our vital interests, our adversaries, our training forces, and developing technology to undermine our security in space, and they're working very hard at that. In the directive, the president called for the Pentagon to take actions under existing authority to marshal its space resources to deter and counter threats in space, and to develop a legislative proposal to establish a United States Space Force as a sixth branch of the United States Armed Forces within the Department of the Air Force. From the Washington Free Beacon, China's military expected to deploy a laser weapon capable of destroying or damaging U.S. military satellites in low Earth orbit in the next year, the Pentagon's Defense Intelligence Agency disclosed in a report on space threats. The Chinese directed energy weapon is among an array of space warfare tools that include ground-based anti-satellite missiles, electronic jammers, cyber attacks, the small satellites Beijing plans to use in attacks on U.S. satellites in a future conflict. The New American reports that the U.S. Energy Information Administration on Tuesday merely confirmed what the agency predicted just a week earlier. The shale revolution in the United States will not only keep prices of oil and gas low in the foreseeable future, it will make the U.S. a net exporter of energy within 18 months. Bank of America predicts this will keep crude oil prices locked between $50 and $70 a barrel, with emphasis on prices closer to the low end. The Washington Free Beacon reporting that Senator Kirsten Gillibrand discussed her support for the federal government recognizing a third gender during an appearance on KCCI News in Iowa. Gillibrand said, "We should allow for anyone who feels that identifying as a male or female does not represent who they are. There's a lot of people who are in a fluid transition, or they may see themselves differently." Speaking at a meet and greet in New Hampshire, the 2020 Democratic presidential candidate emphatically said yes to recognizing X as a third gender listing, says CBS News. From the Christian Post, beginning June 1st, members of Airlines for America, it's a trade group that represents most leading U.S. carriers, including Alaska, Southwest, United Airlines, will allow customers to pick unspecified and undisclosed, in addition to a traditional options of male and female in choosing their gender. Yes, it's going to the airlines as well. Again, they report it's Alaska, Southwest, and United Airlines, all with this option for unspecified gender. A few more stories after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
How can three persons be one God? Does the Bible support slavery? Is homosexuality acceptable to God? Is it okay for Christians to get hypnotized? Is suicide an unforgivable sin? How can I talk to a Muslim about Jesus? Why was Abel's offering accepted by God when Cain's was rejected? Hundreds of questions just like these are addressed in The Big Book of Bible Answers by respected Bible scholar Ron Rhodes. Consisting of over 400 pages, Ron addresses some of the most common questions about the Bible, about God, Jesus, humanity, salvation, angels and demons, prophecy, the afterlife, ethics, and apologetic issues with clear, concise answers. The Big Book of Bible Answers is available from VCY for a donation of just $17 or more. Simply request it with your donation when you call 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. A little bit later in the program, not too many minutes down the road, we'll give you an opportunity to call in and give us your views on some of these stories shared today or other current news events. Just a few more things to bring to your attention, though. The Christian Post reporting that the Colorado House has passed a controversial bill that requires schools that offer sex ed to either teach gay and lesbian issues and not focus on abstinence-only programs or provide no instruction on sexuality at all. Folks, it's amazing. You cannot teach abstinence education-only programs. If you have anything that you offer as a way of sex education, then you must teach gay and lesbian issues as well. Cannot focus on abstinence only. LifeSiteNews.com reports that attorneys from the nonprofit Alliance Defending Freedom are asking the state of New York to stop singling out and punishing a Christian adoption agency because of its religious beliefs. According to ADF, New York's Office of Children and Family Services is threatening to shut down New Hope Family Services because of the religious nonprofit's policy of prioritizing the placement of children for adoption in homes with a married mother and father. This one will get you here from WND.com. A woman in the United Kingdom is insisting that her child be recognized as the first ever without a legal mother, claiming that she is the father. The woman, identified only as TT, has sued the Registrar General at the High Court so that she can be recognized as the child's father or parent, according to the Christian Institute. There's a legal requirement that the mother of the child be listed in the child's birth certificate as the mother, but the woman who already has used the law to change her designated sex to male objects. Her lawyers now are arguing a discriminatory matter under the government's unclear and illogical system for transgenders to require her to be listed as the mother instead of the father. The Daily Mail of London noted that the judge has suggested that the nation's fertility laws be reviewed because of the case. So she gave birth to the child, but she's changed her designation from female to male, and so therefore wants to be known as the father, not the mother, of the child. See what happens, folks, when we stray from Scripture, where God says God created male and female. Male and female created he them. The Mormon Church, this is from NBCNews.com, the Mormon Church will not stand in the way of a proposal to ban homosexual conversion therapy for minors in its home base of Utah, leader said Wednesday. This ban on conversion, gay conversion therapy happening all over the country, and now the Mormon Church says we're not going to stand in the way of that ban. Let's go on to ChristianNews.net. Very interesting story here. It's a former Oregon resident who became the first person in the United States allowed by a court to legally identify as non-binary. That's neither male or female. He was the first one allowed to legally identify as non-binary on his driver's license, has now renounced all ties to transgenderism, and has now declared in a blog post, quote, "I am and always and have always been male. In my 30-plus year marriage, I am the husband. To my daughter, I am her father. I no longer identify as a transgender or non-binary person and renounce all ties to transgenderism," wrote Jamie Shoup in a blog post last month. He said, I will not be a party to advancing harmful gender ideologies that are ruining lives, causing deaths, and contributing to the sterilization and mutilization of gender-confused children," he declared. "My history-making and landmark sex change to non-binary was a fraud based on the pseudoscience of gender identity. I am and have always been male." I don't think we're going to see that as a top story on ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, Fox. LifeSiteNews.com, Republican state lawmakers have again filed a bill to prohibit same-sex marriages in Tennessee, introduced by Republican State Senator Mike Pote and Republican State Representative Jerry Sexton. The Tennessee Natural Marriage Defense Act would void U.S. Supreme Court's 2015 Obergefell versus Hodges decision to legalize same-sex marriage by claiming that Tennessee has always already passed a state law and amended its constitution to limit marriage to one man, one woman. Under provisions of the bill, Government officials such as county clerks who issue marriage certificates would be prohibited from recognizing any court affirming same-sex marriages while specifying that the officials may not be arrested for failing to comply with court orders affirming same-sex unions. In addition, the bill requires the state attorney general to defend Tennessee law regarding marriage if challenged by a subsequent court action. Let's open our phones here today on Crosstalk. I've got more stories, but we want to give you opportunity. Maybe you want to speak on issues today, on these many stories, the Protect Life Rule here set up by President Trump just signing into law today, breaking news today. No Title X funds can go to any agency promoting abortion. We see also just maybe have some thoughts on the Jussie Smollett issue, the wall issue, or on and on the list goes. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. How much more confused can we be? A mom who gives birth but claims that she's actually the father? By the way, FoxNews.com is reporting that the State Department spokeswoman, Heather Nauert, has withdrawn her name from consideration for the UN ambassador nomination, saying that she was grateful to be nominated, but she has pulled out from that nomination. President Trump Tuesday announced the intention to nominate Jeffrey Rosen, currently serving as Deputy Transportation Secretary, to the number two official at the Justice Department. If confirmed, he would replace current Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, who plans to leave the Justice Department next month. Rosenstein oversees a special counsel investigation into Russian election interference. We've not found any evidence of that as of yet. We understand the Mueller investigation is soon to be wrapped up. Bloomberg News reported Tuesday Attorney General William Barr, who was confirmed last week, chose Rosen as his deputy. And by the way, President Trump on Wednesday, this is from The Hill, labeled the New York Times a true enemy of the people. This was just a day after an extensive report detailing the ways in which he has sought to influence the investigations into his presidency and allies. He sent out a tweet, the New York Times reporting is false. They are a true enemy of the people, says the president. Let's go to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Our number 800-733-9829. Let's begin in Tomah, Wisconsin. James, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I'm concerned about all the issues that you've raised today, but particularly I'm confused at how the CNN commentators and anchor people are castigating their own affiliates, their own associates, for questioning the integrity of Smollett in for not just taking his assertions at face value. It's obvious what's going on here, and you know, we're not talking about the most conservative city with the most conservative police department. We're talking about people who probably would like to validate this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, here they are. Even the ones who admit that Smollett is wrong, you know, they're saying, well, this is the sort of thing that you expect in the Trump era, and that sort of makes it difficult to believe that this is a hoax. It's the circular reasoning of it all, the hypocrisy of it all, that we're going to say anything it takes to get our point across, regardless of whether it's true or not, mentality. I'm confused at that.
Well, it's leaving the whole nation confused in a way because of the fact that here they are wanting special protections, and now you have those who are misusing these protections for these bogus hate crimes. But there's an agenda, and that's what often has been referred to as this agenda to do anything to disrupt this administration, an agenda to disrupt anything that stands for moral values or traditional values. They cannot tolerate that, and it doesn't matter what the truth is. The agenda trumps the truth.
Well, I wanted to point out something. I grew up in a very violent neighborhood. I was chased, shot at, cut, stabbed, beat up, had sticks and rocks thrown at me, and because I was white. And I always promised myself I would never allow that kind of hate to dominate my family and in my surroundings. And yet I see these people reveling in it and accusing everybody else of causing it. And the people that really do cause it need to be dealt with, but by the laws we already have, not by advocating for more laws to regulate emotions and to regulate intangible things like hate or love.
Thank you, James, for those thoughts. Appreciate it very much, and very troubling indeed. And, folks, we can go back to Scripture, and we see things just like this, the false accusations that are there. Look at even at the showdown with Elijah and Ahab as they met together. And as after Elijah, after, you know, this famine was going for some time, and Elijah was at the brook Cherith, and that dried up, and then went to the widow of Zarephath, and we saw that the miracle there, the cruse of oil and the meal, that as he went to Elijah went to Ahab, Ahab said, "Aren't you the one that's troubling Israel?" It wasn't Elijah troubling Israel. It was the policies of King Ahab that were doing that. Interesting to see all of this repeat itself. Tom in Port Wing, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, I wanted to say something, some good news about the president's national emergency and the challenge in the courts by the House. There are two things we need to understand. One is when they go into court, they have to prove they have standing. That means they must prove that they have been harmed. Yet the president has $1.6 billion already given to him, and it will take him over a year and a half to spend that. So they cannot prove that they really have standing. The second thing is they've had since 1976 to challenge this, and there was never a challenge to it. So I think a federal judge, when they go and send it to the Ninth Circuit Court, may very well, the Ninth could come with a ruling in favor of the president and not have to take it to the Supreme Court, because they have a very weak case and a very high hill in which to climb.
Tom, thanks for your thoughts on that issue. Amanda is next in Ohio. You're on the air, Amanda.
Yes. I would like to know the gentleman that had spoke against, or now speaking the truth and speaking against the binary, I'm not really for sure the proper words on this, that says he is now a man, always been a man. I would like to know if he's a Christian, if he's professing Christian, and if not, could we all just pray that he could come to know Jesus as Savior? And if he is, could we all just pray that God would give him the strength and use him as he used Paul?
Very good. Thank you. I don't know his spiritual background, but thank you for raising that very issue.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. God bless. Bye-bye now. Okay, we're, 5 seconds from a break. So let's take the break and come back to more of your phone calls here on Crosstalk. Our number, 800-733-9829. Back in just 1 minute.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. In our series on brainwashing, we have learned these steps. You must remove moral leaders. 2, you must create moral confusion. 3, you must teach revisionist history. And now 4, you must block any opposition to the desired outcome. In fact, that's what we see happening in America today, don't we? The shadow banning, the blocking, the banning of conservative Christian voices from social media and even from the airwaves. And in coming days, you will see increasing number of conservatives and Christian broadcasters absolutely eliminated. And one way this will be done is through the fairness doctrine, hate crime laws, and other things. There must be a blocking of opposition to the global paradigm. In fact, this is exactly what Herbert Marcuse, who coined the phrase "make love, not war," wrote in his 1965 paper on repressive tolerance. He said any of the Christians or conservatives that don't go along should have the right of freedom of speech and freedom of assembly taken from them. This is how you brainwash a people.
Wow. By the way, an interesting story from CBN this week that FBI statistics reveal that Minnesota's 5th Congressional District, that's represented by Representative Ilhan Omar, is the terrorism recruitment capital of the United States. According to the FBI, more Somali American men and boys from this district have joined or have attempted to join a foreign terror organization in the last 12 years than any other community in the United States. That is from CBN.com, CBN News. Let's go to Blanche calling from Ohio. Hi, Blanche, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Thank you for taking my call, and I am so happy that Trump signed that bill today to stop giving money to the abortion things, but all for the wall. They said people are taking up collections. One little boy's got $4,000 or something. And why can't Trump? Someone said Trump can't take that. Can you ask? Tell me why he can't take the donations that everybody's taking up to give to him.
Yeah, my understanding is that all the any funds like that have to go through Congress itself for approval, and you don't have a Congress that's willing to do that.
Satan's a Congress today, and we need to go back to what the Bible said. A man's a man, a woman's a woman, and God created man. And there is no in-between, either man or the woman.
Thank you, Blanche. Appreciate your thoughts. We're going to Connie in Delavan, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. You know, I'm a faithful listener, and I listen to you specifically because, you know, it's not fake news. It's real. I can't listen to anything on the TV or the other radio stations. But, you know, as you said earlier, we're living in troubled times, finding it harder and harder to listen because of it's just all the negativity and how bad the world is becoming, and it worse every day. Any suggestions?
Yes, indeed, because Scripture addresses this as well. And Connie, I would encourage you in particular to read 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 2 Timothy chapter 4. It would take you but minutes to do that. Because this is where Paul lays out to Timothy. He said, in the last days, perilous times will come. And he goes through and describes those times. It's the very kinds of things that we're seeing happen in our society today. And then he reminds Timothy, he said, but you continue. And it's around verse 14. He said, continue thou in the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. Go back, remember that faith that your mom and your grandmother gave you. Remember the teachings I have given you. And then he says, stand firm in those things. And then he reminds Timothy that all Scripture given by inspiration of God, it's profitable for us, tells us it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, instruction, righteousness. In other words, it tells us, God's Word tells us what is right, what is not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. And then he says, preach the Word. Because there's going to be a time when they're not going to endure that. They're going to want their ears tickled. And so I really see with this, Connie, yes, what we're seeing is indeed the perilous times are upon us. Let's remember the faith that we have that's grounded in the inerrant Word of God, the inspired Word of God, and to proclaim the Word of God to a world that's in need.
Thank you. I really needed to hear that.
Great. But don't lose heart, Connie.
And, I won't. It's hard, though.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now. Let's go to, West Virginia. Russell, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I think it's great that Trump's going to stop the taxpayers from paying for abortions, but do you think we'll make it through the day before the lawsuits start flying?
That's a great question.
I've never heard the word sue so many times in my life here lately.
Yeah, and that's been troublesome, Russell, for everything that's been passed. That it goes to a low-level federal judge who has, for some reason, authority over every jurisdiction across this nation, and there are those who are trying to get that whole matter changed to make sure that's at least an appellate court or Supreme Court, lawsuits indeed are flying, but we'll see how long this one lasts.
Thank you
so much. But we understand that policy going forth here today signed. Oh, we just lost our call from our next person in West Virginia. Let's go then to Spencer, Tennessee. Meredith, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Brother Jim. Has anyone considered this Chicago actor's fake actions to be encouraged and funded by people like George Soros?
I don't know of any tie there, but certainly we know the Soros is all about disruption.
Mm-hmm.
And causing chaos, even between people with differences between them. So that is that same mindset, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And thank you, Brother Jim.
Thank you for the call. West Dallas, Wisconsin. Brad, you're on the air.
Brother Jim. First of all, bravo, Mr. President. Bravo on the abortion thing. We don't have to pay for them anymore. The other thing is the wall. The left, the Democrats, the Marxists, you name it, keep screaming, oh, it won't work. Experts say it won't work. I heard Schumer say that once. Well, why are they fighting it then? Why do they care? If it won't work, it shouldn't be a problem with them, because $8 billion, or even the $5 billion that they're talking about, isn't that much money in the scheme of things.
Yeah.
And besides, liberals are world champions at spending money on things that don't work.
Hmm.
The fact is, it will work, and that's why they're screaming and yelling and acting like goofs.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Melanie in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I find it a little disconcerting that the Mormon Church is in agreement with the ban on the teaching against homosexuality or reparative therapy or whatever, mm-hmm. restorative, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
I was just looking at a Bible study about self-control and it being one of the fruits of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, are there some specific areas in your life where you're most susceptible to the allure of temptation,
mm-hmm.
because of your lack of self-control? And that just feeds right in with that line.
Yeah. Well,
why wouldn't they want the person healed from their lack of self-control?
Yeah. Thank you for those thoughts here, Melanie. And indeed, when you're off in doctrine and in other areas, here goes just another excursion as well. Thank you for your observation. One final call. We've got about 30 seconds. Robert in Salina, Kansas, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to congratulate President Trump on his ruling today on defunding Planned Parenthood for their abortion activities. Secondly, I wanted to say how concerned I am about the anti-Semitic situation incident in New York. Got absolutely no coverage or very little.
Yeah.
There's an anti-Semitic pandemic spreading throughout the world. It's very scary, very shades of the Holocaust.
Amen. Yeah, indeed. Thank you for that call as well, Robert. We are out of time on the program today. Folks, as was said in Scripture, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So don't rest in defeat or discouragement. Keep your eyes looking upward, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. So let's be that salt, that light, to occupy until he comes again. By the way, it's Friday. The Lord's Day is coming. I hope you're going to be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.